Welcome to Rhombook Pod, Inclusively Yours, a new weekly podcast celebrating inclusive romance, one trope at a time. Today, we continue our September back-to-school theme with host Mika White and guest Melinda Utendorf leading us in a discussion of how to diversify our TBR, or to-be-read list, with inclusive romance.
Hi, Melinda!
Hey, Mika!
I am so thrilled that you're able to join today. So it's like, you know, Malinka takes over the world again.
Oh, that's our amazing name together.
Yes. We've just put our brains together and become one great big super brain.
Yes, we're going to conquer Romancelandia together.
Yay. So I wanted to just kind of talk about, first really quickly, how is it that you got into romance?
Well, first of all, I'm Melinda, so I guess I should kind of introduce myself. So I'm Melinda, and I kind of got into reading from a really young age. I don't know, I read everything growing up. I started reading. I was just having this conversation on Twitter over the weekend with a couple of people. I read American Girl books when I was little. Did you ever read those?
I didn't, actually.
I was obsessed with them. And I read those, and then Sweet Valley High and Babysitter Club. And then I was an English major. And so I just, you know, got sick of reading all those super important books when I was in college. And I started reading romance and was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing I've ever read in the history of the world, and I have never looked back.
Yay. Same. I found romance kind of as a teenager and didn't really know that it was necessarily romance. I just knew that I liked kissing books that ended well. So
exactly.
And then later on, I had a friend who introduced me to romance probably like more formally. And then I have never looked back. So got to get my happily ever after in.
I mean, because they're just the best. I don't know how you don't like romance. Who doesn't like romance? It's the best thing ever.
Right? Like, who doesn't like people being able to fall in love and like awesome relationship stuff and lots of things about respect and consent and just all kinds of just delicious things.
While they're like, you know, kicking ass and taking over the world and, you know, doing all the awesome things that everyone does in our books. I love it.
Oh my gosh. I think after this podcast, I'm going to go read a book.
Basically.
So I know that there has been, you know, a real push for diversity and reading more diversely. And I'm just going to be really transparent and just kind of say that for me, it was not an important thing until it became suddenly important. Like, I've never, I think that a lot of the books that I read growing up were, you know, pretty whitewashed, but I don't know that I necessarily knew that just because of the way that I grew up. And I just never really connected that together. And because I can't see, it never really, you know, the thing about like not being able to see people who look like you, you know, people who resemble you in some way on a book cover, that was right. Never really, yeah, like that was never really my something I really understood.
Well, that makes all total sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just like all I really knew was that people weren't writing blind characters very well, and so I just figured like it just wasn't a really big deal for me, and so
well,
I feel like
you have like multiple layers of that. You have the people of color, and then also the blindness on top of that. So you get the, you know, the added complexities for that on your part.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I was just like, okay, well, this is all, to some extent, I probably felt like reading romance was a suspension of belief anyway, so it was just easy for it was just easy for me not to really like care at first, until, and I don't know that it really necessarily became real to me until I started finding that people who were interested in writing were, you know, that people of color were being shut out of the, you know, of the publishing gates.
Right. I mean, that I think that I don't think that the average reader has any idea, because I mean, I had no idea that it was a thing until I started getting more involved in reviewing and paying attention to what was going on. So I think that just the average reader just doesn't have any idea. And so I think that a lot of people, myself included, I just wasn't paying attention until the last couple of years. And then, I mean, after the fact, I'm like, oh, well, I'm a moron. I just had no idea. And I just felt like, oh, I should have. I just didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I just, you know, it just didn't feel like real to me until I started really feeling and sensing, like the pain and frustration that people were going through when they were trying to get manuscripts written, you know, when they were writing manuscripts and trying to submit them, and, you know, publishers or agents are saying, well, we've already had this, when a white author could write something like this and,
right,
you know, and it just be like a bestseller right away.
Right. Which is, you know, completely ridiculous.
So I feel like I really had to challenge a lot of my own like biases that I had toward books, because I feel like they were really more aimed, you know, in a really negative direction. So I kind of had to school myself a little bit and be like, all right, lady, how dare you? Like, stop this.
I think that for a major part of it is that we tend to read what we read now as adults, what we read when we were growing up. So like I know that we share a love of paranormal because we're awesome.
Yes.
And, I mean, I come from that. Like, I read a lot of Christopher Pike and Anne Rice when I was growing up. And so I think that, so you kind of return to what you grew up reading. And so I just kept returning to the same, you know, white authors repeatedly, because that's what I was seeing over and over again, not realizing that that meant I was, you know, reading more and more white authors and I wasn't diversifying at all. And then once I realized that, I was like, oh, what am I doing? And then once I started, you know, branching out, I was like, oh, my reading is getting, you know, infinitely better because I've diversified and I'm, you know, searching those out. And once you do it, it becomes easier and easier.
Yeah. Yeah. I really have learned so much just from Twitter alone, I feel like, and the different resources that are out there. So if you don't mind me asking, how has your reading styles changed, and did you do anything specifically to begin that transition?
Oh my gosh, my reading style has changed so vastly in the last, I would say, maybe 2-ish years or so. Because like I said, I mean, I will completely acknowledge I was reading, I would have said that I was reading diversely before, because if you asked me, I would have been like, oh, my favorite author is Nalini Singh. And, you know, I've read Sonali Dev and Alyssa Cole and Alicia Rye, you know, Courtney Milan, you know, I used to love all of those books. And so if you asked me, I would have said that I read diversely. But when I would go through and like I counted up, I realized that it made a very, very small percentage of what I was actually reading. And so then I was like, oh crap, I need to do better. But like you said, Twitter is just, I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, it can be really depressing, but I have found the most amazing resources. I mean, Rebecca Weatherspoon runs that amazing WOC in romance. I highly, highly recommend following her and following WSC and Romance because they are amazing.
Oh my God, they are awesome.
They are. They are just a fabulous resource to follow. I always recommend them. So I started really, I would say Twitter is just my best resource. You know, Anna, who obviously is part of Rombook Pod, I mean, Rombook Love was where I really started figuring out who to follow and diversifying just people to find and like seek out those. So like you start seeing, you know, one person who will talk about authors and then you start following those other people and then you just start getting more and more and more recs. I mean, the Book Queen is great. She recommends a whole bunch of different authors and she reads diversely. Like, I just think that you and I both follow a lot of different people who read across the spectrum.
I love that I can be like, okay, somebody hit me with an urban fantasy that has diverse characters, you know, or is written by own voices, by someone in the Own Voices movement, or, you know, something like that. And there are, like, my mentions just get submerged, and it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Lily is another great one on Twitter who I know she reads a ton of everything.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's great for paranormal and fantasy and along those lines. So, yeah, I know that we have a lot of the same people that we follow who are just fabulous for recommendations.
It really is a wonder of how we, like, even get anything done because we are clearly reading so much.
I know. I feel like all I do all day long is just, you know, talk about books, which is really the best life ever. We're living our best lives, Mika.
I mean, we really are. There's a lot worse things we could be talking about. I know. So we are choosing some joy here.
Exactly.
I wanted to also talk about, there is a complexity. Well, I don't want to say complexity, but there are so many facets of diversity. And, you know, diversity does not just mean like race or ethnicity. It, you know, there's diversity, just it contains like everything because we want to reach out to all people. But sometimes I feel like disability, like we talk about diversity and then disability is like the forgotten landscape of diversity.
Right.
You know, and it's, And it really frustrates me. So I am endeavoring to find more books that have well-written disability rep, preferably written by people who are in the disability community. And another way I've had to school myself is that just as there is terrible blindness rep across the board when it comes to books, I might read a book about a disabled character and think that it is like the greatest book of all time. And then maybe somebody with that disability is like, actually, no, this was not a realistic representation. This is not who I am. This does not represent me. And so I've had to learn that every voice really does matter in this.
Which is a wonderful point because especially with disabled rep, just because one person reads it who is not, let's say, you know, I have fibro, let's say somebody else reads that who doesn't, and it's like, oh my gosh, this was an amazing book about this, and then I read it, and I do have fibro, and I would be like, no, it really wasn't. I mean, if a person who has that disability says, no, it's really not a good representation, I feel like a lot of times our community, for the most part now, we're getting better at just believing those people. When they say it's not a good rep, we should just listen to them and say, yep, not a good rep, let's move on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even and with books that maybe do represent me, like someone else may have a completely different feeling. And books do not land the same way for every person, even if there are two people who have, you know, maybe one, maybe, you know, maybe
yeah.
two books about Black person, and those books might land for me and someone else, and I might be offended, and they might have thought that the rep was okay.
Absolutely. And like going back to the disability rep, I think that part of the problem with that is that it's much harder to find those books because there's not as many resources out there to identify those books and find them as easily. I think that it's getting easier now, but I have a lot harder time finding them.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, sometimes it feels like you're looking at a needle for, you know, in a haystack.
Right.
Like, where is it? Where is it?
Exactly. And then the other thing with, you mentioned about, you know, representation across, you know, all areas. And then obviously like with sexuality and then representation in the LGBTQIA areas, we have, you know, asexuality and aromanticism, all of that. We're getting better in those areas, I feel. But there are, we've been seeing more and more of those. I think the YA areas, we've been getting a lot of those. But I think we've been seeing more and more of that in adult areas as well, too, in the romance field.
And I think that's awesome. You know, people, I believe that we all need to remember, people need to remember that this table can get wider and wider. There is room for everybody at this table. But if people don't want to make room, then they need to get out of the way. So that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, because I do read quite a bit of LGBTQIA, both adult and YA, and I get excited whenever I see what looks to me as good rep, and then when I see people in that community who says, yes, this is a wonderful book, I get excited and I pick those books up from their recommendations.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. I want to read something right now. So I wanted to talk about some books that maybe that you have been reading. I will come clean and say that this was not, I wanted to talk about being schooled in romance because honestly, I could not think of any books, any like back to school books, probably because I really, like, I love school, but I was so glad to be done that I don't know that I necessarily want to read about it again. And but I managed to find a book, I think, with a school teacher in it. So I'm really proud of myself. But I want to know
what was it with a school teacher.
So it is by Piper Hughley.
Oh, I like her. She's so good.
She's amazing. I think that I just feel like everybody just needs to like follow Piper Hughley on Twitter and just sit down and get schooled.
I was just going to say, talk about getting schooled. I think she's amazing.
This is a book. It's called A Sweet Way to Freedom. And it was in the Juneteenth, in the Brightest Day anthology.
Oh, I read that one. Yeah. Oh, I loved that.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. And I have not read it in a long time, but I wanted to talk about it because I really love Piper's writing. I feel like her writing is just exquisite. And this, I always say I hate historicals, but this takes place in 1910. And the teacher's name is Missouri Baxter. She is teaching in Georgia and she just graduated from Milford College and she meets this man named Arlo and he kind of starts off as sort of being a ladies man. And I believe that he feels like all the women that he really cares about like have died or something has always happened. And I don't know that he necessarily took responsibility for, you know, just kind of loving and leaving them. But they have a one night stand and she gets pregnant and he has to basically like prove to her that he's not going to just, you know, walk off and leave. And she wants nothing to do with him.
She is just such a talented author.
I want to just read everything, but I want to read all of her books because I love this book so much and was like, I think after I read it, I was like, I have to find her on Twitter. And I did, and I've just started following her, and she's great.
Yeah, she's pretty fabulous. She's just so smart, and I just love her. That whole did you read that whole that Juneteenth?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
It was so good.
There was a story in there that where it was the first story that actually dealt with colorism, and I honestly did not know what colorism was until I saw it in that story.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, about like how this when slavery was over and this one woman, she was the ex-slave was she was dark-skinned, and there was like a free black family that were kind of upper class, and they were light-skinned, and it showed like a lot of colorism, and it was just like, oh, this is kind of what my grandma used to say about people, or how she used to, you know, think that somebody may not have been as smart because their skin was darker. But I think I just had sort of normalized that until I read this in the story and thought, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I've seen, you know?
Which is why books are amazing to reflect, like, you know, what you've actually gone through in life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And what are you reading?
Well, I wanted to recommend Rebecca Weatherspoon's yes. Better Off Red. Well, have you read that? The Vampire Sorority Sisters?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's school related and it's paranormal. And you know how that's always my jam.
Oh my God.
So it's about college freshman who just is not really interested in school or anything. She just couldn't care less about much. So she does want to maintain her perfect GPA, but so she has this initiation to this Alpha Beta Omega sorority, but then she finds that is actually more than just a sorority. It's actually has like a lifelong pact of vampirism and demons. And it's, you know, Rebecca, but it's like, it's intense. Like it's kind of erotic. It's very good. I love Rebecca's writing.
College was never this awesome. What the heck?
No, it definitely was not that awesome when I was there. It's been a while since I read it, but it was very good and I liked it a lot. But it was what I wanted to recommend when you told me that we wanted to talk about school, just because it was just very good. And Ginger falls for the immortal queen of the nest of vampires. So just saying, it's very good.
Ooh.
Yeah, you would like it. I know you're what you like, and you would definitely like
you
it.
Do.
Yeah, I know what you like. You would definitely like these books.
You and Lily are like the angels on either shoulder.
Yeah, I know your reading style, and you would be very into this book.
Oh my gosh, I'm ready. So I just wanted to mention an author to you, and because I, honest to God, I tried to find the title for the book. I cannot find it. I think she has like over 100 books, and I looked at like many, many blurbs, and then they all blurred together. So, but her name is Rochelle Ehlers.
Yeah, I've heard of her. She has a ton of books.
Ton. Oh my gosh. But she was the first Black romance author that I read. And it was really kind of an epiphany for me, because when I started reading her book, it's like about a very wealthy family. And I think that this particular character was a doctor, and they're out there like taking grand trips everywhere. Like he's paying for jets, and it's like Black Harlequin presents, like, except with like less douchey heroes. Please don't come after me, people who love Harlequin Presents heroes.
So what's the synopsis of this book? Because I will have to Google it.
So I think he's a doctor, but I think maybe he was a soldier. And I think that the heroine, I believe she was a school teacher, and she was in trouble with like from a gang or something. So there was definitely someone trying to kill her. And this man has like this family just everywhere. And I imagine that every single member of the family gets a book, and he basically has to protect her. So it's like romantic. It's like an amalgamation of like romantic suspense plus like Harlequin Presents, just all squished together. But when I read it, my first thought, I remember talking to my roommate, and I was like, this is just, it just does not feel realistic to me. It doesn't feel realistic. He's taking her on debts and blah, blah, blah. And they're doing this. And this isn't realistic. And then I like sat down and like, why does this bother me so much? And then I realized that up until that point, I have read, you know, anything that I've read about Black characters has always been like poverty and, you know, the struggle and trying to get ahead and with all of these different obstacles. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it left me like, I was unable to get into the headspace of where it's okay to be on the other side of that, where it's like this lavished, beautiful, you know, decadence. And like, why the hell shouldn't we have some damn decadence, right? Like, this world is a goddamn dumpster fire right now. So...
And this book was like that. That's amazing. Like, and when
it was amazing.
When did you read this?
I think I read this like in 2014. Okay, and I just remember coming away just feeling stunned. No, like I like I said, I really had to like undo a lot of these like different internal biases that I have toward different like books and novels and things and what I expect from specific authors and right. You know, and I was like, you know, I've read plenty of like douchey alpha hole ass bag heroes and you know, who just pay for everything, and you know, the heroine is pregnant and they get to go on their like island they own the whole island, right? And
I thought you were gonna say you read this in like, I don't know, 1985 or something.
Oh no. No, but it just really let me know like how my reading like really had not been as diverse as I would have liked. So, but to have this like, we deserve the beauty and this lavishment, right, and this royal treatment is excellent. I love it. So I just feel like I don't even know where to start with Rochelle Ehlers. So if anyone is listening and you are a big Rochelle Ehlers fan,
oh my
please
God.
Help us.
You are going to have like 80 million people giving you like 18 million different titles for you to start with.
Yes.
Speaking of Rochelle Ehlers, did you listen to her speech at the Rita Awards?
No.
Mika, I am going to send you, I'm going to find the link and then I'm going to send it to you. You have to, like, it was not super long, but like, it was very brief, but I loved it. Like, after she spoke, like, I posted on Twitter, I was like, okay, I love her. She was super funny. I have to send it to you.
I need this in my life.
Yeah.
I need this
in my life. It was very brief, but I liked her, and she was funny, and she cracked me up, and I was a fan immediately.
Yay! Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Before I ask my last question to you, do you have any more book recs that you wanted to give?
Oh, just one more. This is totally like a left turn. So this is Wicked Sweet by Chelsea M. Cameron. It's my favorite of hers. And I mean, I like all of her books. She writes female books. And she's one of my favorites. This one in particular, I really like. I just really like the dynamics between the two female main characters. So is it Seven, I think is her name? Seven and Dove. Those are the names of the two female main characters. And they're in college. So the one is just very focused. She knows exactly what she wants to do. She has her whole entire life planned out. She has a plan for everything. And then, like, this person from her past, she sees her in one of her classes. It's from, like, they went to high school together. And she is the exact opposite of her. She's kind of gothy. and they just do not get along. And of course, everything, like hijinks ensue, and their romance together is just super adorable. This goth like loves to bake, so it's all like, it just screws with all of your like assumptions that you have of people. I just love their romance, and it's just, it's super cute. I love it.
Okay, my soul is ready. I want this in my hands right now.
It's really cute. It's called Wicked Sweet, and I really like the romance. And I think it's this one that one of the characters has ADHD. And I thought the rep was done really well. It's either this one or another book of hers that has that. But either way, it was really cute. They have a couple, like it does take place in college, and I don't know. I love it. I highly recommend it to people. I like this author a lot, though, so I really do like a lot of her backlist, too.
Sweet. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And my last question for you is, and I will answer this as well, what does reading inclusively mean to you now?
Oh, that's a great question. I think for me, it means to actively seek out authors just from literally every background. I try very hard to make sure that I'm reading just a wide spectrum of authors that represent just, you know, everything. I don't want to just be reading white authors anymore. I don't think that's interesting. I mean, personally, I'm white, and I just don't need to read only myself on page. That's boring. I want to read Black authors, you know, South Asian authors, everything, every LGBTQIA. I want disability rep. I desperately want to see fat rep. I want all of it. So for me, I just am constantly wanting to seek that out. And I don't particularly see me going back to that, to reading just white authors anymore, just because I think it's boring and my reading has gotten much better for it.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, for me, it has meant reading more inclusively has meant digging deep and in some ways healing a lot of the different biases and things that I had that has really kind of stayed with me from childhood, and being able to let some of that anger and resentment go. And it has meant being able to open my eyes to, you know, just to different cultures and worldviews and stories. This is a rich tapestry of stories that we are blessed to have, and I just want to say that I just want everyone to take a chance and read things that maybe you have not even thought about reading. If they have a happily ever after, you know, don't worry about the other stuff. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing genre fiction people. But read, you know, read that rich tapestry. Just, you know, check out all those beautiful textures and get carried away to places that you have not seen in a lens that they were meant to be viewed. So there you go. There you go.
I completely agree. Like that, it's just so much. It opens up my world. I'm from a super tiny town, and so like I love being able to see, you know, literally the whole world by reading. Like, isn't that the whole point of reading?
It really is. And I was telling someone, I was like, you know, Melinda is white and she's reading more diversely than I am. I don't know what's going on. I got to get it together. And so this has definitely been quite a journey for me. I feel like I'm like at the beginning stages of it, because I really was kind of kicking and screaming, you know, at first, until I got my head out of my ass and started and, you know, kind of just let go of a lot of feelings and things that I had. So, but
I think also, sadly, I think that part of why I'm so passionate about it now is just that I know that some white readers will only listen to recommendations sometimes from other white readers, which is ridiculous and sad, but it's true sometimes. And so now I try to at least, you know, talk about what I'm reading because I'm reading them anyway, so why not? And because I love books. And so I try to vocally be talking about them and, you know, recommending what I'm reading and loving, because I figure, you know what, if another white reader sees that I'm loving them and they can too, then why not?
There you have it. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was just like, you know, talking to you on a random day. Like in your DMs. It's just, you know,
yes.
Conversation come to life.
That's right.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of ROM Book Pod, Inclusively Yours, a new weekly podcast celebrating inclusive romance, one trope at a time. If you'd like weekly recommendations for inclusive romance, please take a moment to subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest at RomBookPod. That's RomBkPod. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, happy reading!